just the power of agency, right? That sometimes bad things happen to good people because of other people's choices. And it's up to us to choose how we react to that. Are we going to let it make us or break us? And it really boils down to our attitude, right? And I think that was a big kind of refiner's fire crash course for me, was to realize, okay, I can't control the choices of other people, but what can I do? What can I control about my attitude to what is happening for me?
You're listening to The Busy Latter-day Saint, where righteous desires and living life come together. I'm your host, Richard Bernard. Because this podcast ends on a spiritual high, I do not add any comments at the end, so I add them here. You can help support this podcast by sharing it with friends and family, clicking the follow button, and giving it a 5-star rating. I'm also the host of the Everyday Saints podcast, aired by Cedar Fort Publishing Media. There I have the wonderful opportunity to interview authors published by Cedar Fort and learn about their new books. I encourage you to check it out. There's a link in the show notes. Lastly, I want to thank two talented musicians for their intro and outro music, Angie Gillian and Marvin Goldstein. Both of them have been guests on this podcast. See the show notes for more information. Today, we have the pleasure of hearing from Angelie Ferguson, whose journey in love and marriage resembles a heartwarming romantic comedy. Angelie discovered that by staying close to the Lord and immersing herself in the scriptures, she maintained a positive outlook on life and herself. Her experiences, both challenging and triumphant, are beautifully shared in her latest book, Yes, No, Maybe So. So, join us today as we delve deeper into her story and the wisdom found in the scriptures. Now, here's Angelie. Angelie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Richard, for having me.
Now, where do you live?
I'm in the Salt Lake area in Utah.
Okay. And where did you grow up?
I grew up in a small town in Utah. So I've been here a good chunk of my life.
Okay. Now, when you say a small town, is that 100 people or 1,000?
It's probably closer to like 10 to 12,000. So, I mean, you know, relatively small compared to like the Salt Lake area.
Okay. But obviously you were more in the farming or area?
Yeah. Kind of out that way.
Okay. And your parents, what did they do?
So my mom was a stay-at-home mom. And my dad is a licensed clinical social worker.
Oh.
So he kind of does therapy and then works as a school counselor for the alternative high school to just help kids that are struggling. So,
okay, now how is it to have a father who's a psychologist?
It's interesting, right? Because like rule number one of psychology is like, don't therapize your family, right? Because if they say something you don't like, then it could hurt the relationship, right? And so it's kind of always this like fine line of, okay, like just tell me what to do, Dad. But he kind of, well, you got to figure it out, but like you're on the right path, you know? So it was interesting. But I feel like because of that and because of the way that he parented and kind of modeled those skills, I feel like it taught me and my siblings to have, you know, better coping skills than maybe your average person, because that was what he did as a career. And so he kind of could guide us and steer us with good tools to use.
That's how you came up with a book.
Yeah.
Yes. And the book title is Yes, comma, No, comma, and Maybe So.
Yep.
With an ellipsis after. And so,
yeah.
Can you give us a summary of the book?
Yeah. So the subtitle of the book is A Comedy of Dating, Divorce, and Devotion. And I feel like that sums up the book pretty well, because it really is my life, the comedy of errors, and what I learned through going through, you know, the dating experience, getting divorced, and then the devotion part where I kept my faith through all of those experiences and how it shaped me into the person that I am today.
When did the book come out?
It came out this year, March 12th, so a little over a month ago.
And if they want to get the book, where do they go?
They can get it on cedarfort.com. Or it is also available on Amazon.
Okay. And I've heard a rumor that you're also going to have an audio version.
Yes, I have recorded the audio version. And so now it's just in the editing stages and making it sound great to release to the public. So stay tuned.
So you don't have that professional actress voice, huh?
No, I wish I did. I did do a radio internship when I was in college. And so, maybe, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Well, I've had the opportunity to read the book. It is a great book, and I think it's a great book for bishops and stake presidents and Relief Society presidents, and anybody who's just wants to know what it's like to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and thinking that you found your Prince Charming and you're in the temple, and find out 6 years later he wakes up and says, "I think I'm done."
Yeah.
And so it really gives people insight, and you really have a knack for writing. It just flows. It just flows. And so I recommend people to get that book. So now you grew up in a small town. You graduated from high school. What did you do next?
So yeah, then from there I decided, hey, I want to go where there's more social opportunities, and I'd always wanted to go to college, and so I left and went up to Utah State and went there for 3 years, and then graduated with my degree in journalism, and after that headed on a mission for the church.
Wow. Now, in 3 years, so you did a
In
4-year
3 years.
program in 3 years.
I did. Well, because I was in a small town, they had an extension of Utah State. And so while I was in high school, I thought, I'm going to take all these college classes for free to save on tuition while I was
Okay.
in high school. And so my goal was to graduate high school with an associate's degree. And that didn't quite happen just because of health reasons and things, but I did get halfway there. So I actually, when I graduated high school, I was actually a sophomore in college.
Oh,
So then when
okay.
I got up to campus, I only had 3 years in order for me to get the degree.
All
So a little
right.
bit of an overachiever is what I, that's basically me.
Well, it doesn't seem like there was much room for dating in there.
Not too much. I mean, I would go, ironically, looking back, I feel like my dating life was better in high school than it was in college. So, just because it was such a small town and we'd have, group friends and dates and things like that. So, but I was always kind of just one of the guys and one of the friends. So, just kind of hung out with a core group of people.
People are going to have to read your book to see all the adventures you had in dating and divorce,
Yes.
and how you were able to hang in there spiritually. I think it's marvelous. I'm going to credit your dad for this. You just said, "This is not going to happen to me. I'm not going to be angry and all of that." Although those emotions do come out. I mean,
For sure.
they've got to come out, but you don't let them rule your life.
Yeah.
And that was very clear from the book that you just decided you're going to figure this out, and things will eventually work out, and they have. So,
Yeah.
how many years have you been married now?
It'll be 3 in October,
Three
so
in
two and a
October,
half ish.
two and a half. And your husband, what does he do?
So he is an estimator for a general contractor.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
And do you work outside the home?
I do right now. I'm just working part-time. I counsel and kind of mentor college students.
Oh.
So I do that at university.
And you're mentoring them with what's the problem?
Yeah, I mean, whatever is ailing them. but really it's so I work in the Office of First Year Experience, and so they're these students, employees are peer mentors, and so they help assist incoming first year students to kind of help them transition to college. And hey, this is what it's like. I'm here to support you. What resources do you need? And so then I supervise them. So when they are also having, academic crises or relationship crises or whatever, there to mentor them, to help them as they do their college career, but also as they mentor other students.
There are students that need help,
Yes, for sure.
that they're just overwhelmed, and
Yeah.
they might have been in a small town high school where you knew all 600 students,
Yep.
and now all of a sudden you feel like you're nobody.
Well, yeah, and college is a totally different world, right? You're trying to find your place and where you fit in, and how does this work? And so, yeah, it's been really rewarding. I really enjoy working with college students.
If I remember right from your book, your husband now was married previously?
He was, yes.
And he had a child?
Yes, he has a son.
So what's it like to marry and instantly have a child?
It's definitely an experience, especially because I don't have my own biological children. And so it was kind of, instant mom, right? And so it's kind of an interesting world to navigate because you have, you know, this third party that is the legal parent. Mm-hmm. And then you're trying to co-parent with this other person that's not in your household that maybe doesn't agree with the way that you're doing things. And so it's definitely an interesting experience. And also just trying to navigate like your role and where you fit in with this child, right? Because I mean, I came into his life when he was about 5, you know, so that's 5 years of he's already, you know, been taught things and raised things, you know, and here's this person and who are you? And why do you think you get to be my parent? Right. And so it's definitely been a journey, but it's been fun. And it's been really cool to just see him kind of learn and evolve and grow and, you know, just make fun memories together as a family. And so it's definitely not the path that I had ever envisioned of how life would be, right? Like I thought, I'll be 35 and I'll have 3 children and life will be grand. And, you know, it doesn't work out that way, but I still get an opportunity to be like a bonus mom and have that experience of mothering, even though it wasn't what I had pictured or expected for myself.
Is your son with you the whole time or is there back and forth?
Yeah, there's a back and forth. And so with that comes its own set of challenges, right? Because that's hard on a kid to go from one home to another and like, hey, things are done this way and then they're done this way. And, you know, him navigating his path. And so we just try to make our home a safe space for him and let him know that he's loved and appreciated and just try to have fun while he's there and influence what we can while we have him.
And his biological mom is close by, hopefully?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not like it's a state-to-state situation. Yeah.
Yes. What have you learned being married in the temple and then divorced and then married again and being a stepmom? If you had to put it all together, what have you learned?
Oh, man. That's hard to just say one thing because I feel like I've learned so much. But, you know, I think you always hear that, you know, that phrase, like, why do bad things happen to good people? You know, you always heard that. And I think when I was going through my initial stages of divorce, you know, separating, getting divorced, I remember saying like, why me? Like I did everything right my whole life. And all of a sudden it's just imploded in a matter of months. And what do I do now? Right. And so I think one of the biggest lessons I learned through all of this is just the power of agency, right? That sometimes bad things happen to good people because of other people's choices. And it's up to us to choose how we react to that. Are we going to let it make us or break us? And it really boils down to our attitude, right? And I think that was a big kind of refiner's fire crash course for me was to realize, okay, I can't control the choices of other people, but what can I do? What can I control about my attitude to what is happening for me, right? And that applies to marriage as well, because you're not going to control your spouse. They're going to do what they want to do, right? And same with step-parenting. Again, you have this third party that they might not agree with you, and you can't control their choices. You can't control what they do. And so how do you make the most of it while keeping your, you know, value and your attitude intact to where you can make the most of it and not let it just make you a bitter, hateful person because things aren't going your way.
How did the scriptures fit into all this?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I will admittedly, I am not the best scripture reader. I've never been that stalwart, always reading my scriptures, but I think going through a divorce kind of helps you reevaluate, right? What's important and what is the priority. And so for me, it was a combination of prayer and scripture study to just seek answers and feel peace. And I think, you know, I share an experience in the book even of one time where I did read the scriptures and I just felt the spirit and that overwhelming love. And so for me, that was just another testimony that the scriptures truly do have power, and that as we turn to them, it will help us navigate those times when we're feeling less than or overwhelmed or stressed out or just all the things that we experience on a daily basis. And even if it's just, you know, 5 minutes a day, when you're in the scriptures and you're focusing on the Savior and putting him first, it can shift the whole perspective or the whole trajectory of your day, because you're focusing on what truly matters instead of on the woes and the, I can't control this, I can't do this, right? And I think there's a common misconception out there that if we, and I at some point I believe I had this misconception, that if I was living the gospel and doing everything right, that life would be easy. Right? I wouldn't have troubles. I would just be like, yay, life's great. It's perfect. But I think what I've realized as, you know, I've gotten older and through all these experiences is just that, you know, having the gospel in our lives, reading our scriptures, saying our prayers, going to church, doing the things that we need to do, doesn't mean our problems automatically go away, but they give us the strength to get through them. And they give us hope and faith as we are confronted with those tough things.
You found where the scriptures was helped you with the divorce and everything. What chapter in the scriptures talks about getting through a divorce?
Yeah. You know, not specifically, that's a good question. But I think, you know, it's kind of like anytime you read the scriptures, right? Like you open it and you read phrases that you've read for years and years, and then it hits you differently, right? And that's kind of how it was for me when I was reading the scriptures of like, oh, hey, you know, having hope through the atonement, right? Like Moroni 7:41, I believe, is that like, what is it that we shall hope for? We shall have hope through the atonement of Christ, right? And that was the answer. Like he was the answer, turning to him, because I can't handle this. I don't know how to navigate a divorce. I don't know how to feel better when I had to sell my house and I'm living with my parents again and my whole world has imploded, you know? And so it just, yeah, it's so fascinating how the scriptures, even though it might not be, yeah, specifically, here's your guide to how to overcome a divorce, right? but it gives you that strength and peace to just, yeah, keep going and keep trying to be a better version of yourself.
Well, I just wanted to check in case there was a chapter I had missed in the scriptures there. So,
yeah. So, well, if you missed it, I did too.
Okay. When you study the scriptures, what do you do? Are you writing at the same time? Are you doing hard copy? Are you using the Gospel Library? What are you using?
Yeah, I try to use a hard copy. I'm very much a traditional book reader. I don't even do like, you know, audiobooks or books on Kindle or anything, because I like the feel of a real book. There's just something special about it. And so for me, that's what I do with my scriptures, right? And I have my pen handy to mark anything that stands out to me, maybe keep a journal there if I get any spiritual impressions, you know, because I had heard long ago, probably in Young Women days, that, you know, if we write down those impressions and the spiritual things that come into our lives, our Heavenly Father will give us more.
Yes,
right? Because
absolutely.
He sees that we're appreciating it, right?
Yep.
And that was actually something I did throughout the divorce process as well, is I had a journal dedicated just to those spiritual moments that I felt. So as I was going throughout my day, if I had an impression that came to me or I felt the spirit, I would write it down so that I could remember that and then see, you know, look back and see, hey, this is how Heavenly Father was carrying me through this struggle and this trial, and this is how I grew and what I learned from it.
Journaling is very powerful.
It
really is. And you're absolutely right. I can't remember who said it. I have a bunch of quotes from general authorities because I give these devotionals on the importance of journaling and studying the scriptures. And I can't remember who said it. I'd have to go back and look. But you're right. I think it was President Eyring. That kind of popped up in my mind there. But we'll give him credit. he said that, you know, he would often write something down and then go, is there more?
Yeah.
And more would come.
Yeah.
When Heavenly Father sees that you're serious and you're not writing it down on a napkin and you're writing it into something that you're going to hold on to, it can be a journal, you know, paper copy. Mine is all digital. I use an Apple Pencil and write. And then if I want, I can have that writing change to text, and then I can dump that text into the gospel library. But I'm all digital, as my listeners know, because that's what my mission's about. Yeah. And so it's, but journaling is very, very important in the studying of the yes. scriptures. Now, do you and your husband study together?
Yeah, we definitely try to. I mean, we could be better at it, right? Life happens, gets hectic. What's been really cool is that my stepson actually was just recently baptized. And so it's been really cool to study as a family together and see his excitement for the scriptures. Mm. You know, one of his baptism gifts that we got was his own quad. And he was so excited to have his own paper scriptures. And he has his little pencils as he's reading and marking it. And so, you know, having him in our home has definitely helped us be better and more diligent about our scripture study, because we can see the power and the impact that it's having on him. And so, yeah, it's definitely something that we try to prioritize as a family.
President Nelson talks about this, that if we study the scriptures together as a family, he has a whole list of items that how we'll be blessed. Yeah. And I don't have those memorized, but I do have them saved so that I can look at them when I need them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very important. Nice. Well, I appreciate you being on the podcast. And again, I encourage people to get your book. And it's interesting, you're making an audio book, but you don't listen to audiobooks.
My husband is an avid audiobook listener, though. And I actually, when I was, you know, because part of the role in publishing is trying to get reviews when your book is released. Yeah. And so I was reaching out to friends and saying, hey, would you mind reading? And, you know, can I get reviews? And a lot of them said, well, I only do audiobooks. I only do audiobooks. And so I was like, oh, well, there's a market for it. So some people, you know, love it. But I can't focus with audiobooks as much, because if I have it in my ear and I'm doing something else, then I just lose the book. And so that's where I'm like, I just need to sit down and read.
That's understandable. But the advantage with you making an audiobook, he can hear your voice anytime he wants now.
That is true. Yes. Whether he wants to or not, right? No.
Well, thank you for being on here. I've enjoyed the time with you. And again, I encourage people to get your book and learn from it, and learn about what it's like to go through what you've gone through and how you've been able to maintain a spirituality. And so, as we do with all my podcasts, we end with bearing your testimony. Would you mind doing that?
Yeah, for sure. So I know that Jesus Christ is our Savior, that he loves all of us, no matter what we're going through. I know that President Nelson is a prophet of God, and I've felt the power of his words as I've listened to him. I know that we all are God's children, and that testimony sometimes has gotten me through more than anything, just knowing that the Savior is there to lift and carry me and to help me know that I'm loved. And I know that that's true for everybody. And so in those moments when I get frustrated or don't understand other people, I try to remember, hey, the Savior loves them too. And it helps. And I know that the Book of Mormon is the Word of God, and that as we read it and just implement all of the things in our lives, we can find that strength and the peace to move forward through our lives, especially during the challenging times. I know that the power of prayer is very real. I've felt it in my life. It's what sustained me through a lot of my struggles and challenges. And I know that it's very real. Even when our prayers aren't answered the way that we think or that we want them to be, they are answered in a way that makes sense, and that our Heavenly Father knows best for us. And it is for our growth and for our experience. And I'm so grateful for that knowledge. And I say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.